Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Box Office Breakdown. Information and commentary on weekly movie box office.
There we go.
I was like, I'm kind of talking, but I'm not hearing anything,
yeah,
so I'm assuming I'm not on. Hi, guys. Welcome back to Box Office Breakdown. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ready?
Talk some movies.
All right,
basketball.
We're gonna get down to this weekend's numbers. We have a top five list that is coming from one of the flops of the weekend.
Well, it's 85 degrees. Why are you wearing a jacket for?
Good question.
Because I feel like the layering effect looks nice on camera.
Oh, maybe you're right.
I also like this jacket.
Is that an on-screen only jacket, or is that an all-day jacket?
This is I will take it with me all day jacket.
But will you wear it?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing yet today.
It is really nice out.
She just woke up.
It's time for true. All right. Anyway, let's talk about how was everyone's weekend before we get into the numbers.
It was good. We had a really good team building exercise yesterday, which I thought really helped our dynamic.
Me and JT were hanging out by my house. We went and played some basketball at Ellis and Cobster.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, Sarah lives pretty close to my house. And I was like, man, imagine we see Sarah out here laying out. And sure enough, she was out there. It was pretty amazing.
You did call it.
Yeah.
That's really funny. I didn't hear that side of the story.
And JT seen her from really far away.
I was like, oh, I think that's there.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We knew about your clavicle bone. Yeah.
Great.
Well, it was right there. Yeah.
But then we played horse.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And it was we had so much team building.
Yeah, a lot of team building.
I was not really counted in the game.
No, me and JT weren't doing anything. We were just watching Sarah run and do layups and stuff like that.
I can't do a layup. I really can't. All right.
It's a fun time. It was 85 degrees in California.
It was really hot.
It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Yeah. It's time to go to the beach. It feels like summer. Mm-hmm. But let's get into the movies, which are not like summer movies at all.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Horrible box office again. It's just been numbers for far too long.
The weather was nice.
Well, the weather was nice and no one was going in and seeing the movies, at least
March.
In LA. But everywhere else, they should be going and seeing movies because they're caved in snow.
That's true.
Yeah, but it's daylight savings. No. It gets later.
That happened on Saturday night. That should have no impact on the box office at all.
It had an impact on my drinking on Saturday night, that's for sure.
But really, I feel like the weather should be contributing to more people going to movies and not less. But that's not the case because number five was going to SpongeBob. Now in its fifth week, still the only really kids movie out there, brought in another $7 million. That's only like a 35% drop. So to date, it's about $148 million. Really good timing for the release. They have nothing else to compete with. They picked a good window, and it's just staying in there. Kingsman only dropped 30% and brought in $8.3 million. Not a ton of money, but in its fourth week, and it's also hanging on good word of mouth. It's doing pretty well overseas as well. Mm-hmm. Definitely, I think we're going to see a franchise coming from this film on because people like it.
Yes,
absolutely.
Doing great international.
They made a solid standalone film, and people liked it, and then now it has the backing to make more films. I think that's how people should go about it instead of like, let's plan three in a series and hope people like them. Make a movie people like and want to see more of. It's not hard.
And Matthew Bond's on fire.
Yep.
And then number three, I'm very proud of this film.
Yeah.
That's great.
No, it's not. It did good.
The second best exotic Marigold Hotel, $8.6 million.
Yeah.
It only opened in 1,500 theaters.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, that's actually really good.
It's really good for this movie. Definitely off of the last one. It opened pretty much exactly as 100 Foot Journey.
A little more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little less. Pretty much the same. Number two, Focus, dropping 46%, brought in $10 million to be in its second week. And number one, although it got the number one spot, it is not a good look for Sony's Chappie with $13.3 million. That's its number one opening week, took the top of the box office, but only 13.3, which is not good.
Well, it got you the win.
I did win.
Yeah,
you did win. Sarah got the top three.
Thank you, Unfinished Business, for dropping down to number 10.
Wow, we really overestimated that.
Yeah, really overestimated. I really thought, you know, it would bring out some of the comedy. I mean, people must have just been totally turned off by the trailer.
They're gone, but they're done. This guy's toast.
Well, I mean,
it's Vaughn's not toast.
Well, he's
toasting comedy.
It wasn't that far away from coming in the top five. You're talking about it's in the 10th spot, but it's 4.8 million.
Duff made more money.
Yeah. But number five brought in $7 million. You're talking about a pretty much $5 to $7 million jump. That's not that big. That's
like crazy. This opens in 2006. It does $40 million.
Also,
that's a big difference.
It's in Hot Tub 2 range right now. Yes. I think Hot Tub make at least $5 million.
Or Mordecai.
It's in our list Mordecai of flops. More.
Mordecai. We need give it a second. Give it a second run.
We need like a wall of shame for this year because it just like what? I feel like every 2 weeks we get another huge flop that's making under $5 million. It started kind of with I want to say Black Hat, whatever.
No, it started
with
Mordecai.
I think Black Hat came out before Mordecai, didn't it?
No.
Oh, in my head, Black Hat was first.
I don't know. I think Black Hat was
after it.
It was. Well, here's the thing. Mordecai still made more than those movies. I think it made $7.8 million or something like that, I think, on the first weekend.
I don't know.
It made four. Or
no,
three.
I think it made close to seven.
It's at seven right now, period, total. Yeah, I'm serious.
It's at 7 million right
now. It's a piece of junk.
Poor Mordecai.
I mean,
shame.
No, it's look, Unfinished Business. I mean, it's, you know, it's a terrible movie, terrible jokes. What I'm happy about is that America is finally waking up to this nonsense, and we're seeing it this year early that people ain't buying into this bullshit like Mordecai.
Well, that's the thing.
Or this one and other things. They're buying into it overseas. It's like a reversal. It's unbelievable.
Well, the other point of it is that once a movie gets slammed by word of mouth, people go, okay, I'm going to wait to spend a dollar on it in Redbox and not $28 on it for two tickets.
Correct.
Like, if there's any doubt about how good the movie's going to be, or if like people, or if it's not something that people want to talk about, or you're going to feel left behind, or like there's the curiosity factor, then they're just like, eh, I can wait. It's not a long wait anymore. You're not having to wait a year for something to come out on Blockbuster. It's
sometimes it comes out the same day.
Yeah, same day. Wait 2 weeks. Wait 2 months. It's not a big deal.
That's what Unfinished Business is.
Also,
stream it on whatever.
Yeah, in the week.
Yeah, smoke drugs or whatever and watch it, and then maybe you'll like it.
Again, for me, a lot of it has to do with advertising and the star power. Kevin Hart is hot right now as far as a comedic actor, so he could open a movie like Wedding Ringer to 30-something million. Alone, his name on that movie is what made that movie money, because it arrived long last year. Vaughn can't really carry a movie. He hasn't carried a movie in a long time. I feel like if you're going to have an R-rated comedy, you need something that's going to... The story has to have a certain pitch that just draws you. Hangover? The original Hangover had no stars. Bradley Cooper was not a star.
Nope.
Zach Galifianakis was not a star. The thing that brought people was the premise of that movie. It looked really funny. And what is the premise of this movie? I've seen every trailer commercial, and I still don't know what the movie's about, really.
It's like the Hangover, but like corporate version.
Yeah, they go to Europe.
That sounds... You told me right now sounds boring.
Well, I didn't see it. I know. That's what I've gotten from the trailers.
From the trailers, I never really got that from the trailers. I was like, I just see Vince Vaughn doing his thing. I really don't know what's going on.
Yeah, there wasn't even any hot chicks in the trailer.
It's true.
A sausage party?
Vince Vaughn needs, if he's going to do an art comedy, he needs to go back to doing stuff like old school. Like, it's more of an ensemble. He's not the lead.
Right.
You could say this ensemble, but I mean, really, the other two guys, Dave Franco, who's kind of unproven as
they wanted him. They thought he
was
as a
draw. They've been trying to push Dave Franco much over this past.
I mean, he was good in Neighbors, but again, he's a role player. Same thing at 21 Jump Street.
It's Vince Vaughn's lowest output and over 1,000 theaters ever.
And Tom Wilkinson, I love that guy as an actor.
Yeah.
He's a great actor, but do you think of him when you think comedy?
No.
So
The Duff made more money this week.
The Duff made more money.
People like The Duff.
Vince Vaughn should be a teacher in The Duff. That's what he should do.
Yes, exactly.
It's already made, so it's a little late for that. But
yeah, let's talk about some other new films. Best Exotic, I agree. They did really well. Mm-hmm. It's because literally it's going to an audience that, you know, doesn't get a lot of movies out there.
Let me tell you what happened here with the Best Erotic Hotel.
Okay.
My buddy, Exotic. Yeah. My buddy.
I won. You have to say it the right way.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, right.
That's right.
All right. Erotic Hotel. Exotic. my buddy Consuelos works in a nursing home in Rancho Cucamonga called Going Out with a Bang.
Okay.
And he's like a fence over there for the old people. Basically what he does is, you know, he's like Morgan Freeman in Shawshank. He gets some stuff. He said like they're asking for liquor, drugs, alcohol, even guns. And he's getting them for them.
That's illegal.
What does that do with the movie?
What? He's it's basically.
I thought you were going to say they're asking for like bootlegs of this movie.
Well, no, it's big in retirements. They were okay. taking buses to see these things, and the guys were getting ready. He said it's like high school over there. These guys are banging all day long.
When you're that
Pumptown,
old,
USA.
When you're that old, I mean, you can do whatever you want at that point. Try any drug you want, because I mean,
yeah,
you're at the end of your rope. Well,
this is like,
try it all.
This is like the top notch one around here.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, basically, you have to look like Raquel Welch or like Michael Douglas to get in there. Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Fancy retirement.
What else opened this? That was really the only two that really broke
exactly.
the top 10, huh?
Nothing. Everything else? We have repeats for everything else. And what's going to happen to Focus? Who knows? I mean, no one seems to really like that movie. It's not bringing in any money.
Well, it wasn't a bad drop off. I mean, you know, it was only 46% for a movie with so word of mouth.
We also got to talk about Chappie.
Oh, yeah.
Neil Blomkamp was seen as like the next big visionary director after District 9, nominated for Best Picture that year. Elysium was met with a lot of mixed reaction. Half the Schmo crew liked it. I didn't really like it.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
A lot of people, I'd say majority of people were kind of down on it, even though we all agree visually it was amazing. A lot of people were hoping this Chappie, especially for me from the trailer, I was like, this might be a return for
it. Had huge buzz out of Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Huge
buzz. It looked like Johnny Five, but it was a dark, you know, District 9 version of it. And I was really excited, and I didn't see this weekend because every person I trust told me it was a horrible movie.
What are they saying? Why is it horrible?
They're saying that every decision that the people make in the movie is the wrong decision, and it takes you out of the movie because you're just like, why? Everyone's making the stupidest decisions throughout the whole movie. Again, I haven't seen it, but this
is
what
like
I've been told.
Sounds like some
people's
real lives.
No.
If you're unfortunate to be one of those people, yes. Yeah. And apparently he cast these two musicians from...
Aunt Dieward.
Yeah, and they're apparently like...
They sing that song, I Think I Feek You and I Like You a Lot.
Yeah, apparently they're like the... Basically, they're the main characters of this movie. And at one point, they're wearing shirts of the movie that they're in, and I don't know. I hear they're annoying, and the movie...
Okay. The one guy, Ninja. Yeah.
Oh, that's
really,
his name, that's
yeah,
right.
He was really good friends with Blomkamp, but towards the end of the movie, their relationship is strained now forever. And he had a tattoo under his lip of District 9, and he switched it up. Now it reads like, I'm an alcoholic or something like that. And he switched it like Johnny Depp did.
And that caused a rift between him and the director?
It was before. He said he was just so unruly on set. It was just unbelievable. Yeah, the guy's a complete idiot anyway. Okay. You ever watch their videos?
I'm not familiar
watch
with
the video,
either.
Die Antwoord. I think I peek you. It's got like 36 zillion views on YouTube. I think people know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I met this guy. When people were talking Star Wars, people were throwing this guy's name out there, saying he should do the new Star Wars movie. I think a lot of people are going to be taking those statements back.
Yeah, but he signed on for the new Alien.
He signed on for
the
new Alien.
This, so he got his golden parachute.
Well, we know that they made a good trailer. I'll give him that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Elysium had a great trailer, too. But, again, visual director.
Yes.
See, you give me a great visual director, I could cut you a good trailer.
Absolutely.
A good movie, that's not a problem.
If it's a bad script, it's a bad movie.
Yeah,
people can't save it.
My hope for Alien is that he wrote these last two movies himself. I'm hoping Aliens, you know, they bring a writer and let him take care of the visuals and all that, but let's get a better writer.
Yeah, but it was super poor marketing, and I also
blame
the Australian chipmunk.
You never know, like, Chappie could have saved Alien.
What do you mean?
I mean that because that's a good point. People can say that he is a wonderful visual director, but this is going to set up red flags for him. Like, he did... Some of his star power was taken away. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't taken away, I don't think, on the visual aspect or how he can make something look. But there is now doubt there for the stories he's willing to tell.
Yeah.
And so for Alien, it might be more incentive to bring more people on.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've been saying this about Michael Bay, by the way. The guy knows how to direct action scenes. Hire a great director to take care of the acting, the story, and whenever they need, you know, action scene, just bring on Bay as a technical person. He doesn't need to be directing movies.
Australian chipmunk hair.
Yeah, poor Hugh Jackman. And that's the thing. This movie had a great cast. And I'm hearing that they're just wasted.
He was miscast.
Unfortunate. Well, let's get into our international
Sniper,
numbers.
Sniper,
Oh, we can't.
You know what? Let's hold on.
We're gonna hold on for that real quick.
We have a new engineer today, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Sorry about that one. It's all right. We'll do international numbers. We gave him the when we do international game.
Yes.
Play the clip. He heard international numbers.
Although me and JT love the song.
Yeah, we do love that song. We will be playing it very soon. Wow. So, but yeah, let's get international numbers.
And we'll also bring up the fact that, I mean, Happy made a point. We should talk a little bit about American Sniper.
Yeah, number one all time, 2014.
Number one finally outplaced Mockingjay.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking, everyone, well, JT, you predicted that first, I believe, that it was going to overtake it.
It was out the trajectory. It was going to do it. It was just a matter of time. I'm surprised as anybody else. I mean, yeah, I saw it coming,
but
if you asked anybody what American Sniper would be the number one movie of last year, that you'd be like, you're crazy.
I think it's
R-rated military movie.
It just really bodes well for cinema.
It does.
It proves, like, you don't have to, like, have these idiots flying around and jumping and disappearing and superhero bullshit all the time, where this is a real story. I made a ton of money, and I'm glad it happened.
It's Americana.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Well, that is now finally, it has finally passed it. It can now be said, good job, Clint Eastwood.
It was crazy.
Congrats,
it was Guardians
everyone.
For a while, then it was Mockingjay.
Then it's $500 million worldwide.
I really want to now hear the Clint Eastwood perspective on how he feels about what he saw this movie making. And
He's not even going to talk anymore. He's just going to walk around with his underwear.
He's directing Guardians 2 now.
I know.
Yeah, he's going to walk around. Right. I'd walk around naked if I was him.
Okay, let's try this one more time, though. International numbers.
All right, here we go.
Big Hero 6 added $19.6 million this weekend, which brings its total to $383.5 million. So that is now ranking second all-time among Disney Pixar movies.
That's a lot of money.
And it could pass Frozen in the next week.
It all will.
Big Hero 6?
Yeah, Big Hero 6.
International.
International, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, it's going to, because, like I said this last week, Frozen, all the little girls and moms want to go see that movie.
Yep.
Not many of the boys are running to go see Frozen. I'm sure, you know, parents brought them. Some are skipping to the theater to see it. But listen.
That's great planning.
Yeah.
1 year after the next, like, they did. You look at it. You made Little Girl Story. Now let's go to the opposite side. Like, they're still banking on all the Frozen stuff. Mm-hmm. Nothing's taken over for it. Like, they have the Disneyland park going crazy. They still have merchandise for that.
That's huge. They haven't
eliminated any of those products. That's just still building. Now they've started its counterpart. They just
go back and forth. It's riding the superhero craze, which is, you know, insane right now.
It makes all sense.
Perfect. This movie on paper probably got greenlit on the first sentence.
Well,
perfect plan.
Absolutely.
All right. And then Kingsman, the Secret Service, continued to put up impressive numbers internationally. It's R-rated, and it's a book adaptation. And it's a book. It's actually a comic.
The R-rated comic book adaptation.
It says R-rated comic book adaptation. Added $17 million for a new total of $150.3 million.
I had the pleasure of meeting Sophia Butera.
That's right. Yeah. That was crazy.
She's a special specimen.
She plays the girl in the movie with the blades.
She's a really nice girl. We had a nice in-depth conversation.
Did she give any stories about the movie or anything?
No. We think we're going to get her on the main show.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
That's amazing. Let me tell you something.
Gazelle. She plays Gazelle.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to the sequel to this movie, because apparently the plot is they meet the counter-American agents. That's the rumors for the sequels. Like,
oh wow,
they go to America and they meet like America's secret servicemen, which I'm totally curious to see how he interprets that. It's
interesting.
It's what I've always wanted, a Mission Impossible James Bond crossover.
I'm into that.
I've always wanted Ethan Hawke and James Bond to just like team up for some crazy movie.
I'm into that.
How amazing would that be?
That would be great. I'm on board for that.
Hire Keanu and Liam Neeson.
No, we haven't gotten to that yet.
We're
talking about that later. All right. Playing in 59 markets, the international sensation, 50 Shades of Grey, took in $17.7 million this weekend. So that's holding first place in Germany for the fourth week in a row.
Wow.
And it's now earned over $527 million worldwide and should end up with about $560 million.
Just shows you how much the world is sex-starved.
Sex-starved?
It really is sex-starved.
I feel like 50 Shades of Grey was a huge phenomenon here. Like,
for a weekend.
The lead up to it is crazy. Everyone was talking about it after it came up. Yep. I would give it more than a weekend, because then people still had to talk about it for the next week. And now I haven't heard it mentioned in days. No one talks about it.
Still a lot of money, though. 500 worldwide is just absolutely unbelievable.
I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know, like, what if it's really that It's not that graphic sexually, right?
No. I just made a big mistake. No. I should have, instead of waiting outside the American theaters, I should have been overseas yeah. outside.
Yes.
Next year.
That would have helped.
What is Fifty Shades 2 called? Is it just called Fifty Shades
Darker.
Oh,
and the
my
third
God.
One
yeah,
is
it's all
Fifty
black
Shades.
Cast.
And the,
what's
it's
the third
all,
one?
It's all
the
black
third
cast.
One is... That's not funny.
That's horrible.
What's the third one?
I'm kidding.
The third one is 50 Shades Freed.
Wow, what a weird... Those titles are
that's
not very good.
That's an old Spanish cast. That's good for you. You might be in that.
Okay, the third one. Great. No. All right. Well, let's go on and stop talking about 50 Shades of Grey and talk about Chappie, which along with opening in here in the U.S., it also had an international debut in 53 wow. markets. It earned an estimated $13.7 million. Most markets are still to come, so it still hasn't hit Australia. It still hasn't hit South Korea, Mexico, Spain. Those are all next weekend. And then Italy, Brazil, and Japan will be later.
It'll make its money up here.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, these movies aren't going to be a total failure because I don't think Chappie had a huge budget, number one.
No, it was like 30-something.
Yeah, so it's going to do okay. But,
Sony says that they were predicting this number. I find it hard to
no,
believe.
No, there's no way they were predicting this.
I think
this.
They were hoping at least 20. You yeah. would think at least 20.
At least.
I would
they would
say
have been
jumping
for joy for that.
I would have guessed the 24 ballpark.
I mean, yeah, 25.
Mm-hmm. But
the budget for Chappie is about 50, but that's not with P&A.
Yeah, probably.
That's I mean, I think every time I think this, the last two movies especially, they're hoping for a District 9 level hit. That thing broke out on a very small budget, as low as budget.
It's got a Best Picture nod.
And it got a Best Picture nod, and it was a huge successful hit.
So he's due for one failure.
And his last two just haven't been able to replicate that.
No. All right, let's go into Unfinished Business, which rolled out in also 15 international markets. It earned $2.6 million.
Wow.
Opened 8th place in the UK with $1.4 million and opened below $500,000 in Australia and below $300,000 in Russia.
All that money is for Tom Wilkinson.
So far, no one's really liking it. Spending money on it. The movie is going to be forgotten about very soon.
Yeah. In Russia, it's called Finished Business. Not unfinished. Just finished.
I'd be more appropriate with the title.
Yeah.
With the way it's performing.
Now.
All right, now.
Now we're going to do the international game.
Break out the Rosetta Stone, because it's time for the international title game.
Yes, it's you, Pandero! Yes!
Al esfuerzo y al heroísmo de una revolución, no lo queremos.
Saros gets a kick out of JT.
Always. The enthusiasm, like, never ends. Like, every single time.
It's a ball. It's a
and
ball
also,
of
I've noticed it's, like, the exact same choreographed movements that he does pretty much every week.
I study them in a mirror all week, like, for hours.
I mean, he cut it, and he, you know, he made it.
I didn't make it.
You know? So there it is.
All right, let's get into our game. Please take us away. We are picking the title that is false.
Correct. Out of the four. And we're going back to China again. This is just so good.
All China?
Yeah, all China.
Oh, great.
These are our favorites.
All China all the time.
All right, so four titles.
Yes.
Okay.
Translated.
Three are real, one is fake.
What is fake?
Coming from the land of make believe, aka China.
Make believe. Right. Okay, go ahead.
Flatliners.
Oh, I love that movie.
The Kiefer Sutherland Julia Roberts classic.
Can't forget Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
Can't forget Kevin Bacon.
Do Not Break the Yin and the Yang.
That actually makes some sense if you know the story of the movie.
China.
Would they really call it that?
Yeah. That's a question.
Maybe.
like really? Yeah. That's what they're going to call it? No. It's fake.
Next.
China again, obviously.
Obviously. China, yep.
A Troll in Central Park.
Oh, I remember that one.
I don't remember that?
Didn't he have like a green thumb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dwarfs.
Kind of scary.
Have more fun.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
China again.
Of course.
Really?
Of course.
Big. This is a B movie. Big tit zombies.
Wait, this is an actual movie.
Is that a real movie?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
It's one of Tarantino's favorites.
I didn't see that.
It's a Tarantino movie. They're going to play it on the Beverly. In Beverly over there.
Okay, cool.
Busty War Zombies.
Okay. Is that different?
China. again.
I just don't think that movie exists. I think that whole movie is a lie.
Multiplicity, the Michael Keaton classic.
Oh, yeah.
He should have won his Oscar for that.
I don't know about that.
He played like five different characters. He's amazing. Matty McDowell.
But there were five bad characters.
Yeah, maybe.
He should got five Razzie nominations.
My husband is everywhere, and I'm sick of it.
Andy McDowell played the wife.
Yes, she did. So once again, we'll
my husband is everywhere, and I am sick of it.
Yeah.
That is a very long title.
Okay. Well, now we'll go.
So let's round down real quick, and then we'll make our choice.
Flatliners, Kiefer Sutherland classic. Do not break the yin and the yang.
I believe that one.
A Troll in Central Park. Dwarfs have more fun.
Okay.
Big tit zombies.
Yes.
Busty War Zombies.
Mm-hmm. I believe in.
Multiplicity. The Michael Keaton classic, but not according to Josh. My husband is everywhere, and I'm sick of it.
All right. This is a tough one. I think the first one's actually real. For me, it's 2 and 3 that are, might be fake. Let's let the new engineer, Jonathan. Yeah. Which one of those do you think is fake, Jonathan?
Which one of those I think is fake?
Yeah.
I don't want the fourth or the third one to be fake. I'm going to say the title for Multiplicity is probably fake.
Okay.
It just seems a little off from the movie.
All right. That's
she didn't know he was
for most of the movie, that's true.
Yeah, but the Chinese people did.
Chinese did right away.
It's right. Because they built it.
Yeah, they knew it.
All right, I will go ahead and say the Troll in Central Park. I think Dwarf and Troll doesn't... It's not... I could see you making that one up.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That's going to be the most random one if that's the one he made up.
That's usually
the
way
it goes. I'm going to go with the first one.
You're going with the first one, yin and yang.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Don't break the yin and the yang. That's what China's about.
I'm so good
now
at
now you got me thinking that's the big one.
I already said.
No, right. Actually...
Who got right?
Josh, again.
Yeah. I rule this game.
It's
people.
Not worth. It's not worth.
I think that you. I think you're
something.
Cheating.
I am not
I think
cheating.
You're
what?
No,
or
no,
something.
I'm not. No, I'm not cheating.
I am so cheating. Good at this game.
He's not.
How did you know that?
Because dwarf and troll. That is, first of all, offensive.
Well,
China could have made it up. So, but I'm just like, I can't see that. I can't see that translation working to the same thing. I feel like. It would be like Dragon Goblin or something.
I gotta know. Someone from China, please call me up. And where did they come up with these names?
Don't call emails.
Is it a culminative effort like by a bunch of people in a think tank that come up with these names? Or is it just one guy who's like somewhere drunk and was like, hey, Billy, what's the name? Or hey, Zhang, what's the name of the multiplicity? He's like, ah, I seen that. Yeah, my wife is crazy. And yeah, I'm sick of it. That's the name. Like, oh, yeah, perfect. Is that it?
If you are listening in China, actually do call us. We will be taking calls towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
I would love to hear your opinion on some of these.
Yeah,
or if you're from China and you live in America, let us know.
Yeah. Josh wins again.
Yeah, thank you.
There we go.
I honestly thought that was one of the hardest ones for me because I was going to go 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And I went with the 2 because of the dwarf and troll. Yeah. I just...
Oh, okay.
It's a mad science.
Troll in Central Park. If anybody hasn't seen it, they should watch it.
I've never seen that movie.
As well as Big Tit Zombies. That's good, too.
All right. Let's get into our top 5 grossing Vince Vaughn movies.
We chose this because it was his worst. Let's remember the good times that Vince Vaughn has given us.
Yeah, we're trying to...
We're not going to stomp all over Unfinished Business. The silver lining.
I don't blame Vince Vaughn really for Unfinished Business. I mean, I blame his agent, and maybe he's not picking the right roles, but it's not, like, when I see a movie that that's not good to him, I don't blame him. He's such a likable guy.
He's toast now. Nobody cares about that anymore.
That's why he needs to go back to do some more stuff like old school Wedding Crashers, where he's partnered up with somebody. I mean, Internship was not very good, but again, I kind of enjoyed it.
That was horrible.
I kind of enjoyed it just because of those two's chemistry.
I guess you're right, but
he needs some
reconnaissance.
Yeah, he does. Well, he's doing True Detective season 2.
That's what I'm saying.
There we go. It's starting. All right, well, let's do number 5, The Breakup.
That's what he should be doing as an agent right now.
18.7.
The Breakup.
But The Breakup, what was that? That was Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston and him, they were like sharing an apartment, but then they break up and they're still living together for a while.
I recently rewatched this. It was on HBO not too long ago and I was just bored and I'd watched it. It still holds up pretty well. It's not the happiest movie.
Well, Jennifer Aniston, her character Brooke gets a Telly Savalas.
Yes, that's okay. Right. From her boss.
In real life.
What?
In real life?
Yeah.
And Jennifer Anderson's godfather was Telly Savalas.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably a little Easter egg.
Yeah, I do the Telly Savalas all the time, too, so.
I had no idea.
This movie was a big hit, number one, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think, and it was when Aniston and Vaughn were both towards the height of their career. And they ended up being a couple afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Supposedly.
And started on this movie, apparently, right?
Yes. Yeah. Supposedly for a little bit.
Supposedly.
Obviously, it wasn't like a long
It wasn't a long thing, yeah.
Public thing, but there was some sort of a fling.
I wonder if that added to it a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure.
I had to, right?
I'm sure. Yeah. You're with each other constantly for that long, mm-hmm. and they have chemistry? Great. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Four Christmases. Oof. Number four, $120 million.
I am surprised this movie made that much money.
I agree with you.
Reese Witherspoon.
Well, they both dialed it in. They hated each other on set.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah. He didn't even do any promotion for this. I think he tried to hook up with her, and she was like, no. And then... it went off the rails, and you could tell the movie is lifeless.
Yeah.
It's not good. I watched it, and I remember just thinking, oh, my God, and this is funny. It just felt so, like, corporate paint-by-numbers comedy. Mm. They released it around the holidays just to cash in on that whole holiday family thing. It was bad. Yes. I honestly can't remember much. I saw it. I don't even remember that much.
It was the movie about... They typically were a couple. They were a couple.
Christmas.
No. They were a couple.
Hanukkah and the other one.
Who always went on vacation mm-hmm. over Christmas.
Yep.
And like would make lies to their family. Mm-hmm. And then they like get on the news one time and the family finds out they're not on mm-hmm. vacation. They're available to come to the holidays. So they have to go to all of them.
It's just that tired trope of, oh, gotta see the in-laws and the relatives on the holidays. And they're all kooky characters somehow.
And you'll see that again this year as well.
Yeah, probably somewhere.
And again, and again, and again.
Yeah, well, I have to say Four Christmases, nah. Breakup, nah. Yeah, nah. But this movie, number three, I do like. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, $186 million. Dollars. Why are you so surprised that I like this movie?
No, I liked it too. I was just thinking is, like we said, the breakup. Vince and Jennifer got a little thing going. Mm-hmm. It happened in a big way on Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Brad and Angelina.
Correct.
Which led to the breakup of Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Yep. See what we do here? We connect the dots.
But this was a very fun movie, directed by Doug Liman, the guy who directed Bourne and Edge of Tomorrow last year. This is a fun movie. I don't think it's like a great movie, but I think it's a movie I could watch anytime and have a good time with.
It's just such a fun, like, sit on your couch, like, you can watch it 100 times movie. It's just entertaining.
100 times, wow.
I've watched this movie a lot.
Wow.
I like it. It's really entertaining.
Well, I don't even think I got through it.
Speaking of Vince Vaughn, he was one of my favorite things in the movie. Just this guy who's like...
See, that's what he plays. Those good characters.
He's a kooky character who's just kind of like, he's like, she's nuts. She's going to kill. And I just...
This movie was supposed to be R-rated. It was supposed to be R-rated.
I think there was an R-rated cut, on DVD, actually.
There's an R-rated cut, but they wanted a wider, audience, so they went to PG-13. Mm-hmm. But it was an R because it was a really steamy sex scene between Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, where they were, like, really... I think he pulled a Mickey Rourke. I think they were actually having sex, and they're like, we cannot show this. And I think that's actually where they fell in love.
You mentioned Mickey Rourke. Did this happen in a movie of his? Like,
what are you talking about? Every movie. There isn't a chick in the movie, he's having sex with somebody. For real. He's the best.
All right. We're going to go to the next one on that note. Number two, Wedding Crashers.
Oh, yes.
$209 million. Really made this duo.
Love this movie. I saw this in theaters a couple weeks before it came out at a sold-out pre-screening, which they do like test audiences.
Sure.
People were dying. You couldn't even hear half the jokes. People were laughing so hard from the scene before. The whole motorboat scene where he's talking to Owen Wilson, he's like, did you motorboat him?
Yeah.
Like, people were dying. And this was where... I've always thought Vince Vaughn as a comedic actor from old school and stuff, but this was like him at his peak. Yeah. His peak comedic performance for me is Minecraft.
It was written for that guy, that like happy-go-lucky guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect for him.
And
I'm not a huge fan, but it was good.
You're not a huge fan of the movie? Oh, really?
No, I don't like Owen Wilson.
Why? I think Owen Wilson's great when a certain role comes around.
Just,
I agree.
No, he's okay.
Okay, well, I think about this movie, I think the reason why I made $209 million, not only was it hilarious, but it had that love story for the girls. So it wasn't just ha-has. It was actually a sweet story, well told, I thought. And Jane Rachel Seymour. McAdams.
Yeah, she looked good in that movie.
She was really good in this. Christopher Walken was great.
Isla Fisher.
Yeah, Isla Fisher. Oh, yeah, this was kind of her breakout movie.
Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour and Will Ferrell has like one of the best cameos when he's at the
Bradley Cooper.
Oh, yeah. Bradley Cooper is
Bradley
the,
Cooper
yes.
is yeah, the
before night. His chin job.
Mm-hmm. I know, yeah, chin
before
job.
He was really big at
oh,
all.
Oh yeah, at all. And this is the movie. Like when you go back and watch it, you're like, oh, it's Bradley Cooper. He's hilarious in this. But that Will Ferrell. Oh, and the scene at the funeral. He's like Roger. Damn you, Roger!
It was.
It's just good. Got two I mean, beautiful girls.
It's a movie that really has held up.
Maybe, maybe I need to revisit it.
There you go.
Yeah, revisit it.
All right, and number one on the list, Jurassic Park, well, The Lost question. World, $229 million.
And this is when Vince Vaughn was trying to be a serious actor. Back in the early days, he was in movies like Clay Pigeons, Domestic Disturbance, which he played like the villain. He did a movie, I think, called Broken Down Palace, where it's about these two girls that get arrested overseas. And he's like a lawyer. Jurassic Park. He's a side character. He's not making... I don't think he makes a joke in the whole movie. Maybe one offbeat joke.
The story was Spielberg, they wanted to use the Jaws theme in Swingers.
Oh, really?
You know, when they're going through the club, it's like, dan, 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 dan. And Spielberg's like, let me see the movie. He was so interested in Vince Vaughn, he gave him the role in Jurassic Park.
It makes sense, because this wasn't long after Swingers. This, I mean,
it was 96 Swingers, and this was 97 or something like
there
that.
You go.
Swingers, you know, opened the gate for him and Jon Favreau.
Absolutely.
Huge. And... He had a choice. He started with that comedic film. He really went the opposite way with it and was trying to do like more dramatic kind of serious stuff. And I think he eventually, towards old schools, when he kind of went back to the comedy roots, and that's where he found his niche.
And Julianne Moore only did this movie because she wanted to have enough money for her divorce settlement.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She didn't want to do the movie. She was like, I don't want to do this. They're like, here's the money. They're like, yeah, that'll pay off my divorce settlement.
That's hard to believe. I feel like if anybody was offered a sequel to Jurassic Park, they would take it.
No, she didn't want to do it. She's an actress.
Yeah, she was in Assassins.
Yeah, that's true.
Great movie.
She also was just in The Seventh Son.
Oh.
Well, maybe she's got another divorce. She's paying for something.
All right. Yeah. Well, that is our top five list for the week. Thank you, Vince Vaughn, for giving us some great movies. We'll forgive you now for your unfinished business flop. All right. Upcoming films. We've got a few to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the juggernaut of the weekend is going to obviously... You don't think?
No, I do. Juggernaut's a strong word. Well, actually, that's not true. It's Disney. It's Cinderella.
It's Disney.
That's going to get
it's
millions
Cinderella,
in the seats.
And it has like... pretty good reviews on like Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
I want to say it's at like 90%.
Is it really? Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm really interested because I think they have done so much marketing for Cinderella. It's been going on for months.
Really? I haven't seen much for it. Well, again, probably not what I'm watching.
Well, yeah, you're not watching Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
They have been advertising for it like crazy. Wrong. She, they've had the girls
who's
playing
the main
Cinderella.
Girl again?
What is her name?
She's a newcomer. She's no one.
She's Lily something or something.
I totally forgot what her name is. But she's been doing the whole press tour. There's been like...
That's a big
There's
role.
Been like things about her waist being too small. Like it's just
really?
Been all
yeah,
over the
that.
Press.
Is she an albino? Is she not albino, right?
No.
She's not? I thought she was an albino.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's directed by Kenneth Branagh, the guy who did Thor.
Mm-hmm.
His last movie was Jack Ryan reboot, which didn't really work out for Chris Pine.
No.
He's a good director. I don't think he's a great director, but I think he's a solid director. The trailers, I mean, it looks like Cinderella. My thing is, when I see these trailers, I'm like, just go rent the original.
Yeah.
Rent the animated film.
But who knows? Because I think that they haven't really... they haven't portrayed it as a musical of any sorts.
No, it's
and the
true.
Original
it's
film,
like a
or the Disney film, is completely... It's a short movie. Disney animated classics are not long. They're typically less than an hour and a half.
She meets the prince
and
puts
they,
on
like,
a gold slipper
singing.
And they call it a day.
So they do have to add more unless they're going to go with the musical route.
The thing is, like, something that absolutely killed last year was Maleficent.
Mm-hmm.
And but you have Angelina Jolie, and you're doing something different. It's like the other side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe when I heard about the Cinderellas, they were going to do something along those lines. So when I saw it, it was just a like straight-up kind of remake, reimagining, I was like, okay, well... Didn't really make sense to me, but listen, kids are going to eat it up.
And their families are going to go.
Yeah.
Yes, Lily James is her name.
Lily
is
James,
going to be what they're labeling as Ella instead of Cinderella on a lot of services.
It's hip hop. It's hip hop.
But you have Richard Madden, who's Game of Thrones. You have Cate Blanchett, who everyone loves and adores.
Yeah,
you've got Helena Bonham Carter coming in as the fairy godmother.
I didn't know she was in
yes.
that.
Yes.
She's going to have wild hair. She's going to have smoked out eyes and, like, be creepy.
And, you know, it's got a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. This could be a really big movie. You don't know. It's a little bit shrouded in mystery. I don't know even what they're changing about this story, but that might enable some curiosity for people
to go see.
She's
an albino.
Listen, Disney and Cinderella, the name alone, will make it number one this weekend. Easy.
There we go. And has a very wide release. Also coming out in a wide release is going to be Run All Night.
Yeah.
Hello, Liam Neeson. Yeah, We've missed you.
For like... a week.
Exactly. except for him, it looks like, I mean, we've seen so much of Liam Neeson. If you go through, his 2014 was crazy.
He did a movie nonstop.
He was in Lego. He was a voice in Lego Movie. He was in A Million Ways to Die in the West. He
nonstop.
Was in Walk Amongst the Tombstones, Taken 3.
Schindler's List 2.
Was Nonstop last year also?
Nonstop was last year. Yeah, I already said that. But like in 2015, he only really has Run All Night on the list and Ted 2. And then it jumps to 2016 with A Monster Calls in Silence.
I mean, these movies that he's been bringing out lately, they look interchangeable. Yes. Nonstop, Run All Night, Tombstone.
Just change the title. It's the same poster.
Same poster, exactly.
You don't need to do anything.
Trench coat, cell phone.
Yelling at a cell phone.
Badass talking, killing everybody in the movie, including like people working on set.
In all these movies, he is in a trench coat, on the phone, in the rain at night, talking, yelling this, talk to somebody really serious.
Yes.
the problem with it is, again, I think it's oversaturated. I feel like I've seen this movie already, and I've only seen a few trailers. Now, who knows? Maybe it could be good, but I think it's at the point now where it's just going to be kind of lost in the shuffle.
You never know. And his numbers have been going down. I mean, Amongst the Tombstones opened to 12.7. Mm. Yeah, you got the 40 with Taken 3, but that's a franchise, so...
And to his credit, Walk Among Tombstones was not a bad movie.
No.
But as I was watching, I did feel like, you know, it's just... They should have put all these movies, all these Nonstop, Tombstones, this movie, these should have just been like his character from Taken... And other stories.
Yeah,
and then make it a series like Jack Ryan.
This is his third collaboration with this dude. I'm sure the movie's okay. I mean, I'm sure it's fine. What is it? Is it Warner Brothers? It's Warner Brothers, right?
Probably. I mean, listen, if he's okay with making okay movies, then sure, but
look,
I don't know.
He wants money. So does everybody.
That's true. He's not making Rob Roy 2.
Run All Night is Warner Brothers. Action rated R. There you go. And the genre is Hitman Assassin.
Yeah, it takes place in one day. It's like Judgment Night or something like that.
Oh, I love Judgment Night.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be a very telling film for them.
Yep.
I hope it does fine because I'm sure it's not a bad movie. It's just we've seen it a lot.
Taken 3 was just not that long ago, and I feel like it was oh my God.
Not at all. All right, well, we've got two more to talk about on the upcoming list. This one people seem to be excited about. It Follows.
Yes.
It is a horror movie. Mm-hmm. It is written and directed, or it's directed by the same guy who did The Myth of the American Sleepover, which was in 2011 and was... Critics loved it. Yeah. It was like 80%. I don't think it was big amongst audiences, but it definitely got some critical acclaim. So now we've got him coming back with It Follows. People are excited about It Follows. It also has upwards of 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Good surprise.
Mm-hmm. It had a lot of good work.
It's very limited, though.
Yeah, that's the, well, these last two movies we're about to talk about. Yeah. Very limited. This movie has a lot of word of mouth just from the film festivals. And I have not actually watched a trailer for it because... When I hear movies like this, which just kind of reminds me of The Babadook, which came out last fall.
Yeah, great.
And people loved
it. I like to see these kind of horror movies that are actually getting good words. I don't like to look too much into them because I just feel like horror movies, for me, more than any other movie, the ones I kind of like to go in a little more, you know, not watching trailer and a little blind to what the story's going to be. I saw Paranormal Activity, the first one, without seeing anything or... I just heard it was good. It was a good horror movie. I knew nothing going in, and I thought it was phenomenal.
I think that's a good way to see horror movies, actually. This one has a 98% on Tomatoes.
How many theaters, though? How many theaters?
It's going to be tiny. This one's coming out to...
Probably 1,500.
I think it's just as limited.
Well, like Marigold? I mean, 1,500? Or is it like 500? It could be 500.
It could be, It might just be New York. It might just be New York and LA. It might be like the Babadook. Babadook opened in New York, LA in very small theaters, and then it didn't even really get that wide released.
No, it didn't.
But we'll see.
It follows just as saying limited, so that's meaning it's less than like 1,000.
Yeah.
Because if it says 1,500, it'll say 1,500.
Okay.
But, and then our final one, also in limited release, is going to be The Cobbler. The Cobbler, if you haven't heard of it, is an Adam Sandler indie tiny movie where he's basically playing, who would have guessed, a cobbler who tries on shoes and then becomes that person.
Yeah.
Whoever shoes he's trying on. It's a really nice premise. It's also interesting because I always find, like, it's an Adam Sandler movie, and obviously he has to be a big part of it, but a grand amount of this movie is played by other actors because he's in their shoes and looks like them.
Like Method Man and just a couple other people.
Yeah. Also, let me just say how it follows starting the film festival circuit and had really good reviews. The Cobbler has not gotten really good reviews.
No.
Cobbler's gotten...
in the film festival.
Not
bad reviews.
You're saying really good. Yeah, it has gotten bad. Horrible reviews. Rotten Tomatoes, 0%.
Dustin Hoffman's in it.
Is he really? Yeah. I know Steve Buscemi is also.
Yeah,
which
Buscemi,
is,
Dustin Hoffman.
I think there's a contract. Steve Buscemi has to appear in every Sandler movie, though.
Yeah, that's true.
My thing with this movie is I saw the trailer, and when I saw the trailer, I was like, this is a fun premise, just like you said. But when you hear all the negative reviews, it's kind of like, okay, well, they tried something, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like Adam Sandler. I like when he tries to go outside the box. Look, Punch Drunk Love is great.
Correct.
Men, Women, and Children was okay last year. Mm-hmm. Again, I like that he's actually venturing out to these more serious movies.
Yeah.
Because he's proven he can't do it. Like, Rain Over Me and Spanglish.
Well, look. I mean, you know, you got to... What I don't understand is how Jack and Jill and Blended get, like, big, giant, wide releases and, like, movies that, like... actually might be okay because those movies are horrible even though they're saying this one's horrible too.
I mean
I'm not a Sandler fan. I don't watch anything he does. You know what, he was good in the early movies, like
a lot of people are in that classic Sandler,
but now it's just like, you know, it seems like they don't even have a script when they show up and they're like, hey, what do you guys want to do? Like, oh, I don't know.
This is a good premise. It has a good shot. I think that I've also seen the trailers. The trailers are good. It seems like there's some B plot about some crime or some something
that's
going
on.
That's
where it probably goes.
And I think
haywire.
That's where it's probably falling apart. But I might give this movie a shot. I might go see it.
This is one of those movies because it's such a small film. It will be on Netflix or something like that within a couple months, and I'll probably check it out and give it a shot. But I'm not going to run out.
I go to Cobblers all the time.
So, guys, we are going into our prediction section, and then we're going to take a couple of calls. So get ready. I went first last week because you guys tried to put the pressure on, and I won.
And you won it.
So I will go back to my lovely courtesy of giving you both the starting picks.
What's his name? Honus Wegner, the guy, or
Honus
Taylor. He tied, but you have to win.
He should have should have stuck with his gut, because if he'd stuck with his gut, he would have been like
four or five, and he would have won.
Because
he's like Kingsman, everybody's like, ooh, he's like, no, not Kingsman. You should just always go at your first intuition. Yeah. I always do that.
But we tied. Looking out, Taylor. We'll get to calls later. All right, let's talk about this next upcoming weekend. Who is going first? JD or Tom?
I'll go first.
Yeah, go ahead. This is a tough one.
Yeah, this is a really tough one.
This is a tough one.
This is not easy at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, man, Chappie is terrible. Focus is in second week. You got Cinderella, you got Up All Night, and you probably have... Well, SpongeBob is toast now because obviously Cinderella is going to take away.
Mm-hmm. Well, they call it Up All Night. It's
Run
All Night.
Yeah, that too. I was up all night.
Up All Night is a totally different movie, a different category.
Yeah, it is. It's in China. I'm going to go with number... Shoot.
Are you starting 5-1?
Yeah, are you going 1-5 or 5-1?
It might. Oh, I was like, because sometimes when I personally feel like when it's a really tight race and when you're talking about movies being in a gap between a million, it's easier for me to go to 1-5.
Yep.
When you're some weekends, it's like you're talking about $5 million gaps. Right. And it's a lot.
I mean, this could be the week where Liam Neeson, you know, goes into Mordecai.
Oh, really?
Territory.
You think so? Wow.
But maybe not, though. Okay, here we go. Number 5, let's go with Kingsman.
Okay. Kingsman for this past weekend was at $8.3 million with a 30% drop.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's go with number 4. Focus,
okay.
Okay.
Kingsman, Focus.
Number 3, I am going to go with... Exotic Marigold.
Okay.
Damn it. This is a tough one. 2, Chappie.
Okay.
Okay.
and one Cinderella.
So you have dropped out Run All Night.
I don't think it's going to make any money. I think it'll make like $5 million.
So you've got Cinderella, you've got Chappie, you've got Marigold, you've got Focus, and then you're rounding up the five with Kingsman.
I still think Kingsman can hang around. It's people, dropped people off, like this flick.
So right. Dropping off Run All Night and dropping off SpongeBob.
All right, I'll go. Okay. Number one, Cinderella. Obviously.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's no question there. I'm going to give...
I don't think it does too much, though. I don't think it does, like, $40 million. I think it does, like, maybe... I think it does the teens.
All right. Well,
maybe
I'm gonna
22.
I'm going to give number two to Run All Night because there's nothing really action-heavy besides Chappie, and the word of mouth on that is going to destroy it. Mm-hmm. $13 million opening weekend, guess what? It's going to go down to, like, 5 or 7. It's gonna bomb. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving Run All Night to number two. Number three, this is where it gets tough. I'm going to stick with second best Exotic Hotel. I don't think it's going to move. I think it's going to stay right there.
I think so, too.
Number four, I will go Focus.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still, you know, it's Will Smith. Mm-hmm. It's still that adult audience that still might see it. When I'm looking at the marquee, I'm like, that's different than everything else that's out there.
Right.
And then number five, I'll go Kingsman.
So basically, we're almost the same, except for Run All Night.
I think you kind of picked pretty much also my list.
Yeah?
Yeah. Cinderella.
But then you guys just, you know. We know what we do. We have to guess.
On the number one movie, how much it makes.
We have to do this.
We'll see. Well, like, Cinderella, it's going to be up there. It's going to have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Run All Night. This is what it needs to do. Like, if you're going to keep Marigold at number three, mm-hmm. that means you need it to drop maybe like 20% and like be at like 7.5. So it's like, what do you think is going to make more than 7.5? And I think Run All Night can do it. I don't think it's going to make a lot, but I do think it's probably going to make about 8. So I'm going to do Cinderella, Run All Night, second best, and then...
I switch it up there.
Yeah, this is where I'm... This one's hard.
It's not easy.
It's just whether... Because if Chappie's at 13 and Chappie drops 50%, which is a big drop, you're going down to 7.5. And Kingsman's been at 8.3,
mm-hmm.
but it's in its fifth week. And then you have...
But the difference is word of mouth.
Word of mouth, but Run All Night's coming in. Mm-hmm. It's the same audience.
No way, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have Kingsman 4 or did you have...
Yeah, he had Kingsman 4.
I had Kingsman 5, I believe.
No, you had Kingsman
I had Focus 4.
You had Focus. No.
Yes, no, you had Chappie.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, he had the same as mine.
Yeah, that's right.
Focus 4, Kingsman
5. Wait, do your whole list again.
I had 4. I had Kingsman... I had number 1, Cinderella.
Yeah.
Number 2 is Run All Night.
Uh-huh.
Number 3, Exotic. Number 4, Focus. Number 5, Kingsman.
So yes. You dropped Chappie off.
Yes.
Completely.
I think it's going to fall right out.
Okay, I'm going do Kingsman and then Chappie.
Okay.
It's not bad. Do we have somebody on the phone?
All right, those are
that's
our list. Everything's
that's not named
pretty
Dylan Esposito.
Close. We got some really tied in lists. We'll see if we have any callers.
I don't know. Is the Skype up yet there, Jonathan?
No,
hello.
Let me pop that on real quick.
He's popping up the Skype right now, guys. So if you were calling in before and you couldn't get in, he's going to throw it up right now so you will be able to get in. We all got different lists.
This was a tough one.
Okay. I know we all have different lists and we're all on different pages, so it's not going to be confusing about who's going to win or lose.
I don't want to make the unfinished business mistake again.
What I want to know is now, let's just do Cinderella numbers for fun.
Okay.
Let's just do it for fun. What is, you said.
No, it's for real because, I mean, look, someone can go 3 for 5 and then we have to do the whatever.
Fine.
That's true.
So you're guessing 18, 20.
I'm going to say 22.
22. I'm going higher. Mm-hmm. I'm going higher now. Do you want to go first there?
I'm calculating real quick with my lovely computer.
I'm going to just give it a solid 40.
Solid 40?
Wow, that's a lot.
I think it's going to clean up. It's going to clean up.
Okay.
Look how weak the box office has been.
Maleficent opened to $69 million last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was that opening. If you look at Into the Woods... Let's do some Googling.
Yeah, but it opened on Christmas. It's probably like $12 million.
That's true. It was crazy. But it opened to 30.
Oh, okay.
So you got 30, 69. Feel like that's kind of the same market. There's not been a lot.
I think Cinderella is a bigger property than those other movies you announced, though.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're right. I could be totally blowing it.
Oh, we got some callers on the line.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you're looking at us. We'll take a caller.
What are you saying?
Ah, because also SpongeBob opened at like 55. Yeah. So I think he might be kind of right. Yeah, this is Cinderella.
That's what I'm saying.
Are you kidding me?
I'm going 40.
I'm gonna go with like, I'm right around you, so I'm gonna say like 38.
Okay.
Hey, closest wins.
All right, let's take a caller. Who do we got on the line? Welcome to Box Office Breakdown.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, we hear you.
Hello.
Hey, who do we got?
This is Chris Osterman from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Chris.
Nice, man. Kentucky, killing it. You guys are going right in NCAA championship.
Yeah, it's looking that way.
Very true. Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
What's up, man? What do you want to talk about box office?
Undefeated.
He's got his top five.
Yeah,
you got your top five?
I just wanted to bring up the fact in Kingsman, at the very end of the movie,
mm-hmm.
And this is more designated towards Tom.
Uh-huh.
Your opinions on the last the princess joke.
Mm-hmm.
I know the movie's been getting a lot of slack for that, and people are saying, "Oh, well, it's sexist and misogynistic and all of these things." But mm-hmm. I see it as more just a play on the old James Bond films and just sort of stepping it up to the next level,
mm-hmm.
as Matthew Vaughn usually does.
Yeah.
Knowing your love of the female Gary Harris, let's say.
Oh yeah,
I'm curious to get your opinion on this subject.
First, let me just say he has a book in his house called Cheeks. Yeah. I believe that's what it's called.
No, Cheek.
Cheek. It's called Cheek. Yeah. So he's very well known in this category.
Yeah. Okay. I'm an ass man. I always has been.
Have you seen this movie? Do you know what he's talking about?
What, Kingsman?
Do you know the end scene he's talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just Look. Here's the deal. The more the merrier for me. I dig it. I just don't know why people are so sensitive about things.
I'm going to agree with you. I don't think it's anything. It's not anything that crazy. It's funny. It is a play on James Bond. Like where the names of the woman were ridiculous. Like mm-hmm. it's an R-rated film. This isn't like a kid's film. What
people
is it really
to,
that over
to
the
grow
top?
Up.
There's nothing that crazy
what
about
are we,
it.
ISIS here? This is ridiculous.
Well, what I think is kind of crazy about it is that everyone, they kind of, like, people are sort of saying, oh, well, James Bond gets the girl at the end. But, I mean, he sleeps with a different girl in every movie.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference between, having some anal sex at the end of a movie than, having sex with, like, 30 different girls? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't get it either. I'm with you. I think that it's, people want to find things to overreact to.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that causes a stir, and they want to put people on sides. Overall, it's really not that big of a deal. People need to relax. I was more happy that they did end with kind of that note and left the other girl as kind of an ambiguous love interest.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't.
Exactly.
I would have been more mm-hmm. disappointed if this princess put up that offer and then he goes and is like, actually, princess, I'm going to go with this girl who I've kind of made a friendship with. I would have been like, come on. Like, leave that for the franchise. Like, that's so storybook. Like, this at least was funny, interesting. It fit the whole mood of the movie.
You gotta
which
walk out
was
with,
high action and high pace and
funny. You gotta walk out with a smile on your face.
It was everything James Bond to the over-top extreme. You're gonna do over-top violence, do over-top violence. You can do over-top sexuality, do over-top sexuality.
What was the chick's name again? I forgot.
The princess of, like, Sweden or something?
I
don't remember.
Princess of Sweden or something. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But,
Swedish
I really
girls are hot. Swedish girls are always hot.
I appreciate you taking my call.
All right, man. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
All right, we'll take another call. Let's see. Oh, we got someone else calling in.
Did we get a top five from this guy?
We'll see. Hi, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Who do we got?
Well, this wouldn't be Box Breakdown without Dylan.
Of course.
Oh, hey, what's up,
be.
Dude?
It's got to be. It's got to be. What's up, buddy?
How did you do?
How'd you do last week?
I only got two because I thought the Vince Vaughn movie was actually going to try and pull through.
Yeah,
you weren't alone in that. That half of the table also was with you.
We were with
you. Yeah, we can't bet on that guy anymore, ever.
I mean, I understood Hot Tub 2 kind of bombing just because it had no real star power. But when you have Vince Vaughn and you're opening at not even $5 million, that's just...
It's Mordecai.
Unbelievable.
It's Mordecai.
You got any questions you want to ask,
Dylan? That small of a list either.
True.
As far as everybody going.
Oh, dude, it was so low. Is there any questions about the box office, Dylan?
No. Just top five for this week.
Yeah, sure.
Please.
Yeah,
well, I got Cinderella 1, Run on Night 2, Marigold, because I think, from what I read, it's getting like 500 more theaters.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see.
Yeah, the expansion.
And then Chappie and then Focus.
Oh, okay, so you got Chappie at 4.
It's not a bad 5. You might be able to redeem yourself. So,
and you're dropping Kingsman off the list. Is that right?
Yeah, I think okay. Finally it'll be like 6 or 7.
The guy who put Kingsman number 1 like 3 weeks in,
yeah,
just taken it out of the top 5.
Yes,
you've been soiled by Kingsman.
You have a really good list. You have a really good
this
list.
This one is a good one though. You might have this one.
All right, Dylan. Thanks for calling, man. We'll look forward to your call next week for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, dude.
All right, buddy. All right, let's take another one.
Yeah, one more.
What was our last one for the callers today?
Let's get this guy's real 5 here.
Hey, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Who do we got?
Hey, it's Star Girl from Canada.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, man?
Canada, we love Canada.
Hey, guys.
Drake's from Canada. Hey, you got your top 5. You'll be in the running to play against us for the Prisoners DVD.
Okay.
Or unless you have a question, unless you got a question, I mean, we'll answer it for you too.
Do you have a question about the box office?
No, not so much.
Okay.
No. Just call it in and say
just
hey.
Call it in, telling us like when Drake's albums come out.
No, I'm not into that.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, neither were we. If you want to shoot your top 5, man, that'd be great.
Number 1, Cinderella.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a good pick.
$25 million.
Ooh.
Oh wow!
I like that. I like that number. I like that number.
Okay.
Number 2 is
okay. Yeah, everybody has
gets hard.
See,
it's not easy.
It's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah. Let's get it going, though. We got a bust off. They're kicking us out.
Run All Night.
Okay. Not bad.
What's going on? I'm going to put number 3 as Kingsman.
Oh, okay. Kingsman. Wow. Oh, wow. We got number 3. Okay.
That's interesting.
Interesting pick.
Yeah.
All right. Number 4?
Your contenders are probably Marigold. You still have Marigold Hotel left. You still have Focus left. You still have Chappie.
Yes.
Those are kind of the 3 that are most likely vying for those last 2 spots.
Correct.
Unless you want to keep SpongeBob in the loop.
Yeah.
No.
Or the Cobbler. We got to hurry it up, bro. Come on, let's do it.
Okay. It Follows.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Okay. It Follows number 4. Wow, that's
great. Wow, nice.
And number 5 is
Without
a Cold
Tell.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There we go. That's interesting. An interesting list. I'm very interested to see how It Follows does. Thank you for keeping that in your mind.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, man.
Good reviews.
And if you win the Prisoners Blu-ray DVD, just direct message Josh into his Facebook or his Twitter. And tell him what you're doing over there. It sounds like you're having fun wherever you're at.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah.
Go Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
There we go. Man. Let's go,
all right,
Canada.
Bud.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, bud.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for everyone who called in. We'll keep track of your lists and ours. We'll see who wins.
Should I get drinking? Should I get drinking or smoking or something?
I was about to say,
maybe there's a time delay between you and the, I don't know. Yeah. But everyone, as always, we love it when you interact with us, when you comment, when you subscribe, when you rate us. Remember, we've got so many different ways to find us. We've got iTunes, we have YouTube, we have our website, we have our Facebook. Go watch all of the Popcorn Talk Network shows.
Yeah.
We're expanding. They're just getting bigger and better. So everyone is wonderful. Have a wonderful show. Twitter's, guys.
You could find me at schmozjte.
At Bob Finstock. Likes are very important. Let's get them up.
Sarah is not on Twitter yet, but you can find us in basketball courts throughout LA.
Yeah.
Getting our game together.
Yes, so we're playing strip.
I'm getting
strip 21 next week.
Strip 21. Strip horse.
Right.
I start in speedos.
All right, now we cut the show. Bye, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.